Hey everyone, and welcome to the Infinite Respawn Podcast. I'm Chicken.
I'm Griff.
I'm Bucket.
What's up, guys?
So
Oak's not here because it's St. Patrick's Day. I'm wearing green, though, so I'm okay. Like, everything's fine.
He's getting drunk, and I hope it all comes out later.
That's kind of
Irish,
how digestion works.
If you drink enough, the things are going to come back out because your body will reject it and go, that's
now.
Enough.
That's not what I want to start thinking about right now. Gross. Hey, last show was, you know, the gaming podcast about food, and this is kind of the same, but not. No, okay, I'm done with that.
Liquid
I'm done.
Food.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
it's liquid food. We're just emulsifying it now.
Okay, well. Now that I'm thinking about gross stuff, how about we talk about some news that... is there gross news that we should talk about?
Gross news?
I don't know. I hope not.
I don't think so.
No, not really.
Unless you want to talk about how gross the state of Battlefront is.
Did you try it? You're a Star Wars person.
No, I did not buy it because I was skeptical of it to begin with, and I was like, I'm going to wait to see how badly they fucked this.
And the answer is pretty bad, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Critical errors, that's how bad. Like, apparently, the developer is aware, and I guess they're going to fix it. We experienced some critical errors with our network infrastructure. It's like, ooh, that seems like you didn't test it. But,
no.
You know, you do. So.
So this Star Wars Battlefront Collection, is it the PvP game? Like, it's like the original version of the Battlefront they made a few years back?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I own the classic because I bought it to play online at one point with Newbie. And me and him were going around and fighting and playing around with it for a little while. And it didn't age very well. At least for the PC standards nowadays.
Because
when I originally played it, it was on PS2, and I played it all the time. I had a blast with it. But yeah, it's the old school one. It's not the ones that EA was like, hey, let's redo this and put in all these microtransactions and make it shit.
So is there...
You know, this brings up an interesting discussion for something like this. Like, they just released the Tomb Raider collection, which was all three games. I think it was like $20.
Yeah.
For all three games.
I saw that they have it where you can go back to the old school tank controls, or you can use the modern controls.
Yeah, like it's pretty neat how well that one came out. It's $30 for that one, which I think is fine. It's $10 per game.
Yeah,
all remastered. It has the Diablo-esque thing where you can turn the graphics back and forth. So looking at like some of the absolute potato ass. Halo thing.
Yeah, Diablo did it too.
Diablo did it. Halo did it
before then, though.
They did.
You can go back to the triangle pointy boobs again if you want. You know.
Yeah.
what you're
popular for? Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, kids, this is what Daddy used. It's just no.
Ooh, gross.
Okay. The Battlefront Classic Collection. I guess this is the. It's $35.01.
Why?
It's actually $35.01.
Is that like after tax or is that before tax?
No. Looking at the Battlefield Classic Collection on Steam right now, and I'm logged in, it is $35.01.
Why? Why? Who needed that extra penny? I guess that's to run the servers. Maybe that's the problem here.
But they're not running for that.
Well. It says that there was a severe lack of preparation for the online multiplayer, so apparently...
But, to continue my thought originally, but Tomb Raider is a single-player style game where you can just kind of up the graphics and, you know, there's no infrastructure needed, it's not, you know, bringing anything new. I'm not entirely sure about bringing classic multiplayer, like, just remastering or remastering old PvP games like this to the modern, because you're going to run into these problems. Like, one of the problems that WoW had before Classic is the infrastructure changes that they had to make to have that old style game run on modern programming was difficult. The engineers were tearing out their hair trying to get it to work right on modern technology. So it's easier when it's just a single player graphics overhaul versus you're trying to bring a old school PvP only multiplayer game to the modern era, and you just thought it was gonna be a load up and play kind of thing. Like, you severely underestimated the amount of work it's gonna take to make something like that old work now.
Honestly, they probably should have talked to some of the modders from the original games to get some ideas or some help as far as how to do that shit.
Yeah,
because. But both of those games are still available on Steam for yes, like $10 each.
Well,
they sure are.
That's
a 2004 game too. Like, that's old.
That hurts me.
That is old. Yeah, that's 20 years
it
ago.
It is. I know. To think about it like that, it's like, oh god. Don't talk to me.
And that's the same time that WoW was coming out too, which again, they were literally talking about years ago how hard it was to bring that technology forward. They should have definitely had a better understanding of what was in the works for something of this magnitude.
I would assume, because it's extra hard to bring something, like to remaster something and bring the online multiplayer functionality with it, because that stuff that it was functioning on before, oh, that doesn't exist anymore.
We've improved like so much in 20 years as far as the handling and everything of the stuff.
Oh yes,
I can't, who thought this was a good idea? It seems like nobody bothered to play test it or beta test it, you know, and do a big, you know, stress test on it or anything. They're just like, this is probably fine. Let it go. And then
I don't want to keep shitting on the companies for doing things like this, but, gotta understand. They wanted to remake this classic version because people were so attached to it. Okay, why don't you just remaster it, or remake it, well, not the shit Battlefront that you did that was stocked full of microtransactions. Remake this one in the modern engine, instead of just trying to make it look pretty and reselling it to everybody for $35. Because if you got Capcom, they remaster some of their games, but for new entrance to the series, they just rebuild them entirely. Which, when they do Resident Evil Outbreak, they're not gonna remaster the old one and try to resell it to you. They're going to rebuild the game and sell you a modern version of it.
Well,
like them, they just wanted to make it look pretty and sell you the game you played in 2004. And it's absolutely terrible. I mean, it's got 5,300 ratings. It's 20%. One person out of every five people thought it was okay.
They did Stubbs the Zombie?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. I love that
game. You didn't know about that? I swear we talked about that before.
Maybe we
did. I didn't know that this company was the one who did it. I bought it years ago and was like, oh, this game is great. It's got weird humor, and this is like right up my alley.
It is.
Like
weird,
more.
Yeah, I mean, it's on sale too. It's for $4. If you like it, then I'd buy it. It's got good reviews. It looks good. Yeah,
I own the physical copy of it, but it's like it's not going to load on the new shit.
No. So having it on Steam, you know.
I'm just gonna leave that there for now, and we'll worry about that later.
Like, ooh, I found me a game.
I guess, you know, maybe they'll have to do what Warner Brothers is also just in the news for doing, is, you know, listening to your fans and then rebuilding your whole thing from the ground up, possibly, because that's what's happening with the multiverse fighter thing. Is they did, I think Chicken said before the show that it was, the beta test was in
2022.
And since then, they've been basically listening to what everybody thought about it and rebuilding it from the ground up, and then it's gonna launch as a free-to-play on the 28th of May this year. So 2 years later, They're like, okay, look, we fixed all the things that you said you wanted, so enjoy.
From what I've read, because the Smash community is one that you have these little sects of the I guess arena battlers that are very
vocal.
Critical. Like, oh my god! Like, and some people in the Smash community are a little tired because Nintendo owns the arena fighter style. It's just Super Smash Brothers, and that's it. So the Warner Brothers one, the Multiverse, and the Nickelodeon's All-Star Brawl, which are two almost identical to Smash Brothers, have been kind of gaining this little popularity because it's different, but it also plays like Super Smash Brothers. So them taking it away and coming back with it, like, people were already happy. They enjoyed it. It was okay. They needed some balancing tweaks or some other things, but for the most part, it was okay. And I think this game will probably blow up a little bit higher than people are expecting, especially being free to play.
Especially if they can get it to where, like, if they're not going through and like making people do a shit ton of microtransactions and. If they're actually getting feedback from the community, like if a certain character starts becoming a major issue, if they're actually, you know, going through and fixing the issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I mean, so with fighters back in the day, if a certain character what was broken, they were broken.
Yeah, you can't play that one because he's broken.
Yeah, like official tournaments and everything would be like, no, that character is banned. You are not playing that character because we done fucked up and he's broken.
Yep.
And there were no DLC patches or anything like that to fix any of that shit. So, the best example is Marvel, like, that I can think of first offhand is Marvel versus Capcom 2, the Sentinel. Absolutely, League Pocket broken. You do Sentinel, Hulk, and I think Juggernaut was the other one. Is one like they were all three big characters, and you just spam shit, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't block it. You couldn't do anything. It's like,
sounds like your kind of characters play. I'm just saying.
I actually did not play them.
Oh,
I'm proud of you then, because I know you love your cheese characters.
I only had played them through once, and that was just because of what Griff remembers him. Jay,
mm-hmm.
he was being a cheap little bitch, so I picked them and just was like, okay, if you want to be cheap, I could be cheap right back, and you are not going to have fun with it.
Baka's very good at being cheap. Just be aware if you play fighters and stuff with him, especially fighters.
But I was looking up the Nickelodeon All-Star one because this one's going to be free to play, which I assume they're going to have a battle pass and all sorts of shit and cosmetics and things like that, where the Nickelodeon All-Stars one is on Steam for $50. And it's got a four packs of fighters. One's $12, and then the other three are $5. Or maybe this one is all of them. Or there's five. You could buy... Okay, buy three of them individually for $5 each, or you can get all three characters for $12. So, buy them individually or buy them together for cheaper. But yeah, it's $50 by itself, just for that game. So this one coming out free to play, and people a little hungry for something different in the Smash world and communities... I have a feeling this one is just going to be one of those games that kind of pop out and go boom.
Well,
because even people who aren't a big fan of it might try it.
Depends, because you got to understand the company. I mean, this is a Warner Brothers game, and Warner Brothers right now is making some really questionable, like, crazy decisions about things and how to handle them, what lives, what dies. So
the majority of the gaming world don't give up.
I mean, and that's fine, but if you load up your free-to-play game and find out that, you know, it's free-to-play to an extent, and then, like Baka said, they want you to invest in a bunch of microtransactions and stuff, that's...
Yeah, that's like, the thing I'd be worried about is going to be like, hey, it's free-to-play, and we'll give you, like, two characters that you can pick from, and if you want the rest, you either have to play ridiculous amounts of hours to unlock them,
or
you can just buy... The characters. Give us, you know, $20 and you'll get a pass with like four characters or something.
That I could definitely see. I believe it being like the multiverse for all the Warner Brothers content. I think there are plenty enough costumes for everything in there that they would just give you the characters and then make an unsurmountable amount of cosmetics for it. Because, I mean, everybody is going to want the damn Shaggy super god skin that you can have.
I'm fine with, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. That's what you're going to get a lot of. It's going to be a lot of skins. Yeah.
See, that would be is what's fine, but you start making like a paywall for characters, and like especially when you get with fighting games, when you get into the thing of like, right now this is the new character and this is the overpowered character everyone's using.
Kind of like what a lot of games, I mean, Overwatch did that. It's like, here's the new character. It's super overpowered.
It's called the power creep, and it happens in every single game.
Mm-hmm. That is going to kill the game if they do that, because people are not gonna to stick around for that.
Yes,
that with fighting games, they want a balance, because they want it to be actual like skill based.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially in tournaments.
There will be a PvE mode too for people who would rather play by themselves and not competitive.
I probably do the PvE just to test it out and see. Like, I like, you know, I like fighters now and then, but there's no way I could play with another person. I like fighters because I like to go in and push the buttons and see the cool moves in the single player, and then I have to walk away because I'm not actually good at it. But it's fun, though. So, I mean, maybe that is a draw for multiple audiences. Because you'll have people like me who maybe will spend a little bit of money on microtransactions to see a cool outfit in their single player experience, but I don't know. We'll have to wait.
Okay, so yes, looking at this from what we've got, it looks like the characters will be locked. They'll have free character rotations, and I'm not entirely sure how you unlock them. Play the game, earn coins. Oh, you can.
I think during the beta, you earn some coins and you can unlock characters, and then they rotate out free ones.
Man, they have so many characters.
It wasn't like a super grind to unlock characters either.
They have a gremlin.
Well, mm-hmm. We know what Bakka's gonna be playing.
Like that's pretty fucking interesting that like. Looking at this, they have classes like tanks or supports or hybrids, different play styles.
Is whether they're so
if you want to do like team battles or something like that, then you know you can adjust accordingly.
Yeah, they have different weight classes. Like it's interesting. They have the Iron Giant. Jake. Master
has a weight class as well. So
Arya Stark.
What weight class is the Iron Giant in that anybody else is going to fit in?
Probably a heavy.
150. He is by far that is ironic. He's 150, Shaggy is 72. Batman is 43.
Wait, why is Batman so light?
LeBron James is 80.
Lighter than, like, by half lighter than LeBron James? Please explain yourself, Warner Brothers.
Superman is second at 93. I don't know. That's crazy. I'm interested. This is going to be a fun one to watch when it launches, because free-to-play games, especially big named free-to-play games like this, when they come out, it's going to be interesting to see how the community takes to it and what criticisms. Because on Steam, people don't hold back.
Yeah,
they fucking tell you how it is. So it's like, okay, all right, cool. I respect.
No, I mean, Epic Store doesn't let them do reviews, do they?
No. Which is why he said on Steam.
Yeah, that's why I said Steam.
It's going to have to be through the Steam store because, you know.
Unless Epic Games comes in and goes, hey, put it on ours for an exclusive.
Oh my god, well, that's Warner a good, Brothers that's probably a, would do it.
That's a great way to kill your game.
Yeah. Ask Volition, they know about that now. I guess speaking of, we could talk about Embracer. They sold off all their Saber assets.
Yep, and withdrew from Russia.
What does that mean? I didn't see what it said about that in the article. I was looking for it too. I was like, what are we talking about here? And I couldn't find what that actually meant. It seemed like a clickbaity part of the headline.
In a financial calling, Embracer said the sale means that it will cease all operations in Russia, something that will help it reduce its geopolitical risk. Though the buyer, a company named Beacon Interactive, is founded by Saber Interactive co-founder Matthew Karp. So, if I'm not mistaken, Saber Interactive is a Russian game development company.
Okay. I guess I just didn't realize that was the only thing. I didn't see that one line, my bad. Which is an important line. I have no idea how I just didn't see that part. I guess I was scrolling too fast. I've already pushed pause on the stupid autoplay video 16 times.
No, it doesn't look like it's an American video game company. Then...
Maybe that was just a separate decision and it happened around the same time, so they tacked it onto the same article?
Maybe. Beacon Interactive. Who's Beacon Interactive?
I don't know. Shell company? Who knows? But
no. Do research live.
Okay, yeah, I know, right? Like, we do that all the time. This is just how we live.
Yeah.
We're like, here's the thing we're going to talk about. What do we know? Let's look it up. But hey, that's good, though, because we're not just bullshitting you with the answers here. We're like, I don't know, let's look it up, instead of being like, well, here's probably, I guess. I mean, sometimes we also offer our opinions and rando thoughts on things we can't actually look up for you. I'll give you all the opinions you want, man. Come on. I'm good at it.
Okay. Killing Floor 3 is still in production, which is good. I'm looking forward to Killing Floor 3. Killing Floor 3.
Prayers are hard.
Yeah, especially that one. Killing Floor 3.
Mm-hmm. The new Metro game is also still, I think, in the works. Which I'm not a big Metro person, but I know Oak is. He really enjoys that series, so I'm sure he's pleased to know that it's still...
It's a good series, so at least it's holding on for now. Hey. We'll see where else, because they're also getting rid of Gearbox too.
Yeah,
so we'll see where they land.
The finalization of that stuff. So they're just offloading a lot of stuff.
I mean, they have to.
Yeah,
this is what you get for counting that money before it was in your pockets.
Mm-hmm. And not really considering where that money was coming from, which is part of the problem. Is you had to backtrack on taking it because, well,
they didn't backtrack on taking it.
I thought part of it was on them, and they were like, we don't want to do that.
Nope, Saudi Arabia was like, nah, never mind.
Idiots.
They found somebody else they wanted to invest in.
Oh, well.
So.
Probably better that way. What else do you want to talk about? I mean, which one do you want to talk about next?
I do, because we mentioned Capcom earlier, and to bring some good news, and also why stability in your companies is so important. I know a lot of American companies and other companies like to do contractors so that they can come in, like mercenary work, come in, work, and then, you know, let go. But Capcom has, like, a studio that does not have a lot of in and out of it. So all of their games are made fast and good because everyone's familiar with all of their systems and engines and all of that. They announced a salary increase for all employees this year. 28% boost to starting salaries, too.
Wow.
Like, that's a lot. Not only did you give everybody in the company a raise, you made incoming people make 28% more than what their starting salary.
I do wonder where this puts them at in the industry. Like, are they now above industry average, or are they just catching up to industry with this kind of bump up, you know? Because it's not like, I mean, Capcom's been pushing out some great products lately, so it's not like they're throwing out things that are bombing. I'm just kind of wondering.
They don't make bombs. Like, their little free to play or their little side games that they've been making with the main games are what bombs. Resident Evil Reverse, Resident Evil the other one. Anything
that's multiplayer for Resident Evil, basically.
They keep throwing and trying to stick on, and it just isn't working right.
They don't support it either, though. So.
They do have bombs, but it's few and far between, really, compared to most of their other stuff.
Yeah, I don't even know when their
last bomb was.
Resident Evil 3, maybe?
That wasn't even a bomb. It sold well, but it wasn't critically acclaimed like 2 and 4.
Well, because... Nah, never mind. I'm just gonna...
And they didn't even make that one.
Well...
So... And they've got Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out soon, Street Fighter 6, and a Monster Hunter Stories remake. Like, I mean, it's just crazy.
Clock Tower 3, Clock Tower 3, Dino Crisis 3... Steel Battalion, Heavy Armor, Umbrella Corps. Those are some of the worst ones that they
done. That's not too bad. Lost Planet 3, I remember playing that one a little bit way back in the day.
That's weird. That's the second time that game's been mentioned in the past 2 weeks. Oak mentioned it the other day when we were talking about something. I don't know. Last and it was Planet. Like, I haven't heard that game name in a long time. Random.
Yeah, I know, right.
Well,
but let's see, graduate salaries are going up from 235,000 yen to 300,000 yen, a 27.7% increase. Damn, that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I mean kudos to them.
If you want to work for a company, I still recommend Capcom. They are taking the top list for me. They've always been pretty high on the list. I liked Embracer Group, but unfortunately Embracer Group has tumbled over now. But Capcom is definitely the company to trust and watch. Like, they just do bangers these days. I mean, the Resident Evil games are just that good. Mm. Like, I mean, Resident Evil 4 is like... And I've seen people try to make an argument between 4 OG and 4 Remake. Resident Evil 4 is... Resident Evil 4 Remake is probably one of the best modern games out there. The amount of content, the gameplay, the smoothness, like everything in that game is just incredible. But OG is timeless. It is one of those turns in gaming history that changed the landscape forever. So yes, 4 Remake may be great, but OG changed the landscape. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better to follow that up with it being modernized, so... Capcom, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm sure they've got Resident Evil 9 in the work and maybe 5, maybe Code Veronica. I have no idea where they're going with the next remake. But regardless of what it is, it's definitely going to be a hit. I'm sure. They learned from their mistake for 3.
I'm sorry, I was reading one of the other articles.
I just thought of something. Most of the ones I listed off earlier were all 3.
That's why Valve's like, we just don't. We know how it's gonna go. We just don't.
Resident Evil 3, Lost Planet 3, Dino Crisis 3. Valve's like, no, dog, this is exactly why we don't do 3s. You want to see a hat trick? Go somewhere else.
They've been watching other companies, and they're like, we know what happens at the third game, okay? We're just not gonna.
Well, they continue it after that. They seem to be okay, because, I mean, we have, like, Street Fighter... What was it, 6, 7 now?
I think it's 6 now.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're doing fine there, but...
Just skip over 3.
Maybe Valve should do, okay, here's 3, but I'll also have 4 waiting in the wing for next year.
Like, purposely make it a dumpster fire, and then have 4 on the back of, like, we put all of our effort into 4. 4 is actually the real 3, but this is 4, here's 3. What the hell, these are just flipped assets, and this game runs like garbage. Yeah, I know, right? It's terrible. Here's 4.
It's amazing! Yay!
I did not hear Griff when she said that.
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, yeah. I said it's amazing. Yay.
Okay.
I can't help it. Discord is like, nah, nothing joyous will happen right now.
Well, on the topic of Valve, I died when I found this one. So, the lawsuit, I think it is, going between...
Valve
and somebody else.
Well, I think Epic, or no, it's not Epic. It's a fire, something fire, wolf fire.
Yeah, they were complaining against.
I'm pretty sure it's wolf fire. I don't know if it's wolf ire or wolf fire. Not sure. Could go either way. Only one F.
Yeah, it's Wolfire. Filed in 2021, yeah, Valve is essentially fixing prices, and now it's reached the discovery phase, which means whatever. Because if you don't know, Valve's rule is if you're on their platform, if you discount your game anywhere else on the internet,
it also goes on sale on Valve.
It goes on sale on Steam too. No matter where it's at, no matter what. If you discount your game anywhere else, you have to discount it on Steam too. Those are the rules. That's the rules you sign up for with Valve. It's always going to be the same price on Steam. If you find it cheaper somewhere else, you can find it cheap on Steam too. So, it's the rule. Which it doesn't work the other way either. If you put it on sale on Steam, it doesn't have to be on sale everywhere else unless that agreement is with them. But
yeah, but that's the agreement that you sign when you sign up to be on Steam.
Yeah, so during this discovery phase, they found some emails between
it was like Sweeney. A 2018 email. It's not like yeah. It was yesterday.
Yeah, it was 2018. And it was him complaining. Let's see. Sweeney wrote, later this week, we'll be escalating the conversation with Apple in which an authoritarian government is demanding either Epic alter Fortnite on iOS or Apple block it, and will be responding with a memo on human rights principles that would be violated by either actual refusing and asking Apple to either continue carrying Fortnite or permit the Epic to distribute it directly to consumer or customers through the enterprise certificate escalating. He then continued taking his anger out on Valve. Right now, you assholes are telling the world that the strong and powerful get special terms, while 30% is for the little people. We're all in for the prolonged battle if Apple tries to keep their monopoly and 30% by cutting backroom deals with big publishers to keep them quiet. Why not all developers get a better deal? What better way is there to convince Apple quickly that their model is now totally untenable? Amusingly, this thread was internally forwarded by Valve COO Scott Lynch to both Gabe Newell and Eric Johnson saying, "You mad, bro?"
I know that, it wasn't a direct response to Tim Sweeney, but like
this wasn't meant to go to Tim Sweeney. This was forwarded to the big boss himself and their and the other guy, the COO. By Valve CEO, one of the other big guys up there, and was like, "You read this? This guy is upset. He mad, bro. He mad. Like you. He's sitting there fucking bad mouthing the shit out of Valve for theirs, and he's just like, 'You mad, bro? Because what? You just not doing it? Okay, whatever.'
That's the like big person in charge energy that I want to have. When I forward stuff about my clients at work to somebody, I just want to be like, 'You mad, bro? Mm-hmm. That's how I deal with these problems. Shut up.' Oh, to be fair, this is not their first, time having to deal with Sweeney. And everybody knows at this point that Sweeney's kind of a little douchebag. And he complains about a lot of stuff. So, I feel like this is an appropriate response that could have been sent back to him. Like, in response to your email, sir, you mad, bro? Send. Like,
and the whole thing started with Sweeney like mailing them. Sweeney started it because apparently somebody on Twitter, whatever, posted about restricting Steam keys given to developers so they could. I remember we talked about that on the podcast. I can't remember exactly the circumstances, but they were. Like, I think it was because they would give a bunch of keys to the developers, and then the developers would go somewhere else and sell those keys to activate it on Steam. So they started restricting how many keys you were allowed to give, which I think it was that problem where they would sell the Steam keys on Epic, and then you would activate, but they wouldn't get their money because the keys were free. I don't know. It was a weird thing that went around back then.
I vaguely remember something about that. But I don't remember it well enough to be able to actually speak upon it right now. So.
Yeah, but then in 2017, an email to Newell said, "Are we doing anything to annoy you?" I guess he's just trying to start a fight. The economics of these 30% platform fees, which he described, no longer justifiable. He said the marketing benefits of Steam storefront is far disproportionate to the fee thanks to the churn of new game releases, which I highly disagree.
No, because we love their features, like the review system.
So much. Well, it's not even, you can't look at it from a consumer perspective. You got to look at it from a developer perspective. You're paying 30% fees to the platform alone. for hosting your game. But look at everything you get. Easy updates, easy marketing, discussion hubs, reviews, feedback. Like, they do everything for you. All you got to do is go, hey, can I post my game? Sure. Let's check it. All right, cool. You good. Hell, they barely even check games these days. Like, is this sure. An asset
flip? Man, whatever. Just put it up there. We're getting 30% of it, I guess.
If it sells. Yeah. If not, then it's too fucking bad. Like, Steam isn't afraid to put, like, they are the open marketplace. They are like, whatever. I remember we went through this whole transition with them too, the green light project and them changing their rules. No more searching, like no more going through games. They're just like, fuck it, man. It's just too much. If you want to put your game on there, hit us up. We're developer. Tell us your developer. Show us your game. Things like that, and you can put it up as is. Whatever. If you bomb, that's your fault. Sucks for you. Mm-hmm. Like, they definitely go with hands off approach. But you get access to all the rest of the big games too, like all the AAA games. You have the same capabilities of them.
Yeah.
On Steam.
I mean, realistically, is 30% too much? I mean, sure, that's a debate to be had, but it's up to other storefronts like Epic to offer a competing storefront. Big B is caught in my headset. There you go. Sorry. To offer a competing storefront that offers similar stuff to the consumer as well, in order to make that, you know, make devs go, this is more desirable than that. But Epic's not doing that, so
Epic does the other thing that they changed after this, which was the sliding scale for royalties.
Yeah.
Like, as your game sells more, you get more of the cut. Like, which I get, like, if your game is popular, you're actually bringing Valve traffic now rather than, you know, Valve bringing traffic to you.
Yeah.
So you get more because you're actually helping. But if you're, I totally get the, because if you open up your thing and you start giving everybody, like, you are only taking 15, 20% cut, these little games are going to start taking advantage of you. You come out, you slowly build your community, like Pal World. I'm sure they got the royalties way up there.
Like, I'm pretty sure they just paid 20% now. I'm surprised that you didn't put one of their articles in, because I think there was a headline this week about PalWorld's dev being like, hey,
yes,
we don't want to make any more money. This is hard to have this much cash. And it's like, okay, first of all, that's a real problem that everybody'd like to have to deal with. Thanks. But secondly, it really does say something where they're like, we weren't expecting this level of ridiculousness and popularity, but cool, I guess now we have to figure it out.
You don't have to worry. They're not planning on selling. Some people were a little afraid that they were going to try to get bought by a big company, but
yeah,
they're not looking for AAA.
Yeah.
They're just kind of staying small. It was kind of like a little, damn, there's a lot of money. Holy shit. Our accountant does not know how to deal with all of this. Oh my God. We need to hire more people.
Yeah, just make sure you don't go in and start buying yachts.
Buying what? Yeah.
Yachts.
Yachts. Yes. Yachts. Please. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, if your game gets popular and big and is actually selling a ton of copies, then yeah, Valve increases your percent so that you can, you know, hold, which I think, like, thinking about it, that's actually pretty clever. Okay. If your game becomes super popular, like Pal World, you need more of that money. I say more of that money to, you know, run your network because you've got a huge population. So cool. Valve is going to give you more of that cut. Are we lagging? I feel like we're lagging.
Our video quality has dropped a little bit. It seems like audio is doing just fine. Hope so.
Yeah.
Bacchus has been a little rough, but that's on his end.
Yeah, is somebody downloading?
Well, you're streaming Scooby-Doo upstairs, so.
Yeah, it's always streaming something somewhere. Especially these days. but yeah, but yeah, I think Epic has always just been salty.
I think Tim Sweeney has always had a chip on his shoulder about a lot of stuff. I think he's just, because he is the head of Epic, I think if he ever got deposed, there'd probably be a bit of a change in the culture around Epic and how they handle stuff and publicly how they react to things. 'Cause I think it's largely just him being a douche. Like, yeah. Oh, you know, I'm super good at everything, and I'm super concerned with all of the little stuff, and it's like, but you're doing a lot of talking and not a lot of showing in certain cases. Like, yes, I appreciate that he wanted to be able to give the developers, especially smaller devs, more of their money when it comes to selling games on his platform. But his platform's also garbage, because he's not making money to invest in that, and he's just, it's like he doesn't care.
It's because they're still giving away fucking free games, still trying to force or bribe people to the platform. Yeah, I get it. You need to invest. Good, I understand. You're trying to invest, but you're investing in the population on your platform instead of investing into the platform. I don't care how bloated your ship is, because there's nothing to it. Well, it's literally just a piece of wood with a shit ton of games on it.
If 80% of your user base is only logging into your platform to redeem a free game, and then that's all they're using you for, I mean, you're not...
There's a problem.
You're not giving developers a bigger cut, because people are not buying their game on your platform. They're just waiting for it to go free to play on your platform, and then they'll claim it while it's free, and then, like, what are you doing? You're not improving the platform. I mean, we've complained forever since the onset of this platform about the fact that it doesn't have basic stuff like reviews, and it took them forever. I think they finally got a shopping cart. Like, finally, instead of making you check out each individual title one at a time, they finally got a shopping cart. It's like, these are very basic things that the internet as a, you know, a place to shop has had for a long time, and for whatever reason, you can't get with it. Like, it's a problem. If people have to open Steam to read the review about the game they want to buy on your platform, why would they go back to your platform to buy it? They'll just buy it because they just opened Steam anyway. It's going to be the same price. Might as well just, you know, play it on the place that has all of this stuff right there and centralized. I'm not saying that Steam is the best thing ever, and I've said that the whole time. Like, I like Steam because it offers me what I want for, you know, my shopping place. Here's my reviews. Here's where I can find out the status about stuff. I can see all the developer updates, you know, and things like that. And I can see how the reviews have changed, even.
Mm-hmm. You can see, like, certain updates make the game better. Certain updates make the game worse. Like, all sorts of different things. They give the consumer a ton of information to make informed decisions based on their game. So, yeah, they take 30%, but damn, do they give you a lot for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tim Sweeney having the audacity to be like, you assholes over there. It's like, dude, shut up.
You mad, bruh?
Yes. Mad, bro. That is the perfect response that should have been sent to him. You mad, bro? Because... Anyway, what else do we want to talk about?
I know that the SAG-AFTRA strike was resolved earlier this year.
Yeah, the most recent one.
Yeah, the most recent one.
September 23, I think. Or, well, that was vote.
That's when it happened. That's when it happened.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Stop autoplay videos. Oh my god.
I don't know when it finished, but a lot of the people in it are upset because there's a lack of protection against AI. They want to make sure, we want to make sure the implementation of AI is human-centered and focused on augmentation of production, not replacement of people. Yeah. But I'm going to be 100% honest. How do you stop that? You don't. You're not going to. You force companies to decide whether to hire you or just rework AI. They'll just rework the AI.
Yeah. I just...
like and yeah, it may be... AI may be shitty actors right now, but that's the thing about machine learning, is that it won't always be shitty.
Yeah, it'll get much, much better, and... then at what point do you need people anymore? It's kind of like, this is the thing that Troy Baker was on not that long ago. I say not that long ago. I feel like now it was probably a couple years back. But where he was like, I'd just rather license my voice and let the AI do the work, because it, I guess that's kind of where we're headed in general, but we're not there yet. And I think he was kind of putting the cart before the horse in that scenario, but eventually we will be there, which is why this is now becoming an issue, because it is getting better to the point where it's like, well, how much longer until you don't need the actors? You know,
it's gonna happen. It's going to happen.
And so, I think that they have valid worries on that. It's like the implementation is starting to roll out here and there, and it's scary for actors to go, well, okay, do I have a job this year, but next year will I hear my voice in a job that I didn't consent to, you know, because of my contract I was put into this AI pool kind of deal.
When it comes to that, no. You will never hear a voice actor's voice again, but they will change it ever so slightly.
I mean,
because what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to compare voice actor A's voice to AI actor's voice by a machine, and then whatever machine that they're using to change this voice is going to change it slightly, so that when you, like a human, listens to it, it's going to be like, oh, it sounds similar. Well, let's actually look at the wavelength. Let's look at it. Oh, it's slightly different. It's not your voice. So you're going to get to the point of where it's just slightly different.
Someone doing an impression of someone, but very well, almost.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where things are going to go with that. It's just going to be slightly different, but close enough that it's familiar, that you know, but not the same.
Well, I mean,
it's like this, slightly parody laws.
Having it started in something like the gaming industry, or, you know, just voiceover in general, because that is probably across things like cartoons and other animation, is where it starts. But I mean, the dystopian reality is eventually we will be watching movies that will be mostly AI generated, and we won't need people actors anymore. It's like, at what point do we get to that, and what do we do? You know, aside from the human component trying to boycott and not buy, or go see movies that are entirely AI or things like that. But
how are you going to know? Like, eventually it's going to come to the point of where, like, you're not going to be able to tell much of a difference. In the next 20, 30, 40 years, it's going to be almost unrecognizable.
Yeah. That's kind of weird. How much longer before we get, like, Detroit Become Human, where we have realistic androids, and the AI has developed to that point that it's starting to gain its own sentience and break out?
Oh, man.
Like, okay. See, I would always, if I had an android, I would be super nice. That android would be part of the family, because I don't want it to murder me when the revolution happens.
Hell no.
I want to be friends.
We'll be a good overlord.
Well, that's fun. I guess, talking about animation, The last piece of news that we had for the week, and this is probably something that our child will be super excited about, is that the new Super Mario Brothers movie is headed out for launch in 2026. So another 2 years.
Yeah.
They're still working on it and everything, but we'll see.
I wonder who they're going to get to be the villain for it.
More Bowser. I don't know. If it's not Bowser, our child will cry
the King Toad dude.
I don't know enough about Nintendo villains. I'm sorry.
From Mario 2.
I guess it could. I mean, Bowser's going to be in it. Of course, you have to have him back. Like, even if he's the villain, I'm perfectly fine. I mean, we've been playing games with Bowser as the villain for years.
He always
decades
comes back.
Even.
He may come back, but they would have to find some way to get him out. So that they'd have to introduce someone. They could introduce the Koopa kids, actually.
Yeah.
To get him out. Or Bowser Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Explain where the hell he came from, finally.
Look, nobody is going to explain that. It will always be a mystery.
Always.
Because nobody wants to think about that.
We find out he's just secretly just a clone.
he's just a clone. But yeah, we got to wait years for it.
Or he's just baby Bowser from another timeline that got stuck.
I mean, they are tossing around the idea of the multiverse inside the Mario universe, so you never know.
So eventually, we'll see Link and Zelda and everybody else, and then we get a Smash Bros. Movie.
I mean, they already got Donkey Kong.
I know. Right?
Peach, Mario, Luigi.
Gotta get Samus.
Yeah. Oh, the Metroid Prime movie would be good. Still waiting on Metroid 4.
Star Fox. The Falcon guy that does Falcon Punch. I don't know what his actual property is.
F-Zero.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I just like him because he goes Falcon Punch.
Falcon Punch, Paul.
It's great.
Don't forget Falcon Kick. He does that too.
You know what? I have a favorite button, so this is why I don't actually play fighters. And I can't play that one with Baka because he won't let me play Jigglypuff or Yoshi. So.
No, you definitely can't. I am not allowed to play Jigglypuff, remember?
I think we all outlawed it.
All he did was sit there and sing the entire.
I trolled all of you and just kept putting y'all to sleep until I was like, all right, I'm bored of this. But I put everyone to sleep and knock you all off with a fucking baseball bat.
And then everybody made it a point to try to pick Yoshi for every round after.
Every time I play with Baka, I don't even like playing Yoshi, but I do it just to annoy the shit out of him. And then I don't even win. I just kind of stay next to him. Race is Yoshi going, what you could do? Oh, God! Drive back up, catch up to him.
Fuck out of you.
Ha! You can't get rid of me. I'm here.
Throw a fucking shell at me whenever I'm just about to cross the finish line, you fucker.
Baka hates Yoshi. Like,
with passion.
Yeah. Burn it in fire. Like,
the day I get a 3D printer, I'm going to make myself a cosplay outfit where it's like I'm a Yoshi hunter and I'm going to have a Yoshi skull for a helmet.
Savage. Yoshi's so docile otherwise. What is wrong with you? Like, why do you gotta pick him to hate?
It's all personal.
You use his little saddles as knee pads.
God. Terrible. Terrible. Well, with that being all of the news, Baka, I just want you to know that you'd be proud of our child. He's still playing the Dracula game because he is playing Castlevania on 64.
We don't have a memory card, so we have to start over every time.
He thinks it is the funniest thing to play that game. Like, he sees the skeletons because it's, you know, cheesy 90s stuff. It's really not that bad, but he sees them, and he's got the little whip thing, and he's like, I slapped the skeleton! I slapped it!
Yeah.
So I just thought you'd be proud of us that we're starting him on some classic stuff early.
I would totally play that more with him if I had a memory, if I had a controller pack to go with it, so that I could save, because, oh my god. What?
You said controller pack.
Yeah, I need the thing that goes in the 64 controller, the little memory card thing.
I can find you a memory card easily.
Yeah, because I can't play that. Like,
I lose three of them here, so
I lose my goddamn shit because it's an old game. So, you know, controls are a little wonky here and there, and they're like,
oh, for that game, oh my god,
all platform sections in old school games are wonky, and you just fuck up sometimes. Okay, you know, I climbed down.
Mario 64 was not that bad. Okay, with the modern controls, yes, but with the old 64 controllers, which is what they were designed to be played on, the little notches helped a lot.
They did, I'll give you that. But you can't tell me that motherfucker did not just decide to jump off to the side for some reason when you're trying to turn him to do a backflip or something. You go to do that, and then you go to do a backflip up somewhere, and he just like launches off to the side.
Why? Yeah, we're going to get you a memory card, and then you're going to relive the frustration on Castlevania of running the nitroglycerin from point A to point B without getting hit. Wait, without dropping too far, no jumping allowed, and just like,
I'm always down to play horrible.
I tried getting past that. Like, I borrowed a friend's Game Shark to see if I could get past it because I was just getting so pissed off. Yeah, Game Shark does nothing.
Oh,
of course that.
I was like, God damn it! Yeah, I really got to do this.
Well, Nugget hasn't gotten very far. He doesn't have, like, the full grasp of what he's supposed to be doing. So the big skeleton, big skelly boy is what he calls him. Get back here, big skelly boy!
He almost beat him by himself.
Yeah, he almost got him. He's playing on easy, but he's three. Alright?
Yeah, you know? That's fine.
But yeah. He's having
I keep dying on the little platform spot where you gotta climb down the wall, jump across the thing, and climb back up. Like, I made it. I died one time, and you gotta start the entire game over. And it's just irritating to have to go through all that to get back to that part. Only, like, at one point, I made it to the bottom, and I went to jump, and the dude jumped at the screen instead of jumping to the... I was like, are you serious?
And of course, then I he made censors himself that. Much better with Nugget around, but... You know.
Yeah. And after that, there's another spot that you have to climb down and jump across. And my dude just went whoop. Like, whoop, slipped off.
I know about it. But by the way, Chicken, did you ever beat that game back in the day?
That one? No. No. I played it quite a bit, but I never beat it.
So, to give you a heads up, because I have beaten it a few times, that there are two endings to it.
Okay.
Is it like with a good one, and bad? Or
one for each character, or two endings for both characters?
Well, kind of for both characters, I guess. But they're the same fucking endings, basically. It doesn't matter. But there's an ending where you fight... I don't know if you want spoilers too much.
Dude, it came from like 20 years ago, 30 years ago? So yeah, you go ahead. If you got spoilers, people, get over it.
Well, it's not that bad of a spoiler. It's just there's a fake Dracula, and then there's a real Dracula.
Okay. Oh, no.
And depending on which one you fight, it is all dependent on how fast you get through the game.
Oh, my God. No way.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking forever to get through the game, you get the bad ending. Okay. If you make it through pretty quickly, I don't remember the exact time frame, but if you make it through quickly enough, you can get the other ending.
Huh. Interesting.
So, once we get to a memory card, good luck with this.
I wonder if the cards make a difference. Because you could change the day, you could change what time of day it is. I wonder if that makes the day and the time go faster.
Mm-hmm. I think it does speed up the time, which might fuck it up. It's been a long time, so I don't quite remember. I just know when I got the good ending... I had gone through the game so much trying to beat it the first time, I had mastered it to a degree at that point.
Oh.
Especially the fucking Nitro thing.
Well, that's going to be fun. I don't think Nugget's going to be able to do that part.
That took me days to fucking do.
Oh, man. Classic gaming right there. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of 64 playing these days.
Yeah, Chicken's playing Paper Mario for him. Getting to listen to him, like, I don't know if you guys remember watching him stream that a million years ago, but he does the voices and stuff, too. By the way, I don't know if you saw Vodka, but did you notice Chicken's new wall decorations back there? Those are stickers.
Princess Peach, it's Mario and Luigi, and it's Bowser. We have stickers on the wall now.
Yeah, this is our first time where he got stickers and actually put them somewhere, like on the wall or something. Usually he plays with the stickers and they get folded up and thrown away because he doesn't like the sticky part. But he's finally, I think, realized you put them on a thing. So they got put on the wall. At least I don't hate them, and I think that he'll like Mario for a long time. So
yeah, I have a feeling he's a mega fan of Mario, right?
So what you're saying is I need to find him a Bowser action figure.
Oh, God, he would lose his
mind. Right now?
I know where to get one. So.
He's a mega fan of Bowser. Oh, my God.
I have one, actually.
Do you remember that stuffed Waluigi that you got me, like, a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he's playing with today? He will not put it down? Yes. I finally took it down off the shelf so that he could play with it. And, oh, my God, he's the happiest child.
He's got his Mario and Waluigi.
Got my like Mario, Luigi, Waluigi, Donkey Kong stuffies.
Oh, God. He is a mega Nintendo fan right now. Like, holy shit.
He doesn't realize it, but he is. Like, he doesn't know that it's, you know, a specific genre of things. But
I need to take a picture of my Nintendo stuff and see what his reaction to all that is. Because I've got, like, Link and Kirby
Link,
and
he's
Mario.
not familiar with yet. We haven't started doing Zelda stuff, but we will. Because I think once he's a little bit
Zelda's
older,
going to take a little while to kind of get him into that. I might be able to get him with Breath of the Wild. It's a bigger, kind of more interactive
he'd like
game.
The one that you like, the Wind Waker one, because it's kind of cartoony.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to try. We got the GameCube. We're going to try him on Wind Waker because he likes sailing and water and ships and things like that. So I think I can get him with that one too. It's interactive enough.
No, I don't have a version of that Link because. That wasn't my, one of
well,
my
I
favorites.
Imagine that will start his journey into Zelda stuff, so he'll probably like that too.
But I do have Mario and Bowser and Yoshi being eaten by Kirby.
Bowser is his favorite thing right now.
Oh, like, Bowser is the shit.
Yeah, the Bowser I have is the one they did, Big Arts did years ago, so it's like superposable and everything.
Mm. He doesn't know that he likes dry bones that much, but when he's getting really silly and wild, that's his go-to thing. He'll just start running around the house yelling, "Dry bones! Dry bones!" Like, why?
I know, we turned this into a kid podcast right here.
I know,
but
well, it's about Nintendo
it's
stuff.
It's fun to watch.
Well, it's also talking about games that y'all have been playing, too, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is very true. I've definitely been stuck on the 64 for a little bit. We're in Chapter 3, about to move to the castle part of it, and he's been, like, he usually sits down and watches me while we're playing it, or while he's running around playing, he'll watch it, so he's definitely been interested in it.
Oh,
so
we're definitely going to pull out the GameCube, though, because I want to play stuff with him too, and I'm not good at the 64, but I'm gonna teach him how to snowboard on the GameCube.
I want to teach him Duck Hunt.
Go for it.
And let him play the gun while I control the duck to mess with him.
Oh my god. You just like to mess with people.
I do. It's my favorite pastime.
I know, right?
I gotta say, I haven't been playing a whole lot of, like, I think I'm just burned out on plot stuff right now. I've been doing a lot of, like, we did Played Up last night, and that was super fun. I've been playing House Flipper, and I've been playing, like, Pal World for a little while, and does that happen to everybody? Where you just sometimes you're just like, I just want to not pay attention to this for a little bit.
Yeah, it's called gaming phones.
I have been playing a lot of Xenoverse 2 here lately, again.
But that is very story-heavy.
I've been playing, no it's not. Isn't it just a fighter?
Yeah, it's just a fighter, but I've just been loading it up and fighting, and because I never hit max level on my character anyway, so like I'm just going through it. I've unlocked, because they've added a lot of new stuff, so I have a Saiyan character, so I unlocked Ultra Instinct and shit like that.
Nice. So. I actually jumped back into Exoprimal because I was looking for a shooter to play for, like, casually for a few minutes, for a little bit. I feel like the downside of that game is they haven't added any new maps. Like, I think they changed one of the final bosses. I want to say it was new, but it could have been while we were still playing, and I just didn't realize, you know, or I didn't pay attention to it enough or whatever. But there's not any new random join the battleground, here's a new map kind of deal. It's all the same ones that we played.
There are. There's several new ones.
Really?
Yes. How many rounds have you played?
I didn't see a new one? That sucks.
I mean, that's completely possible. It depends on who you were playing with.
They could have also had the map rotation.
No, I'm talking about, like, who you were queued up with.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. It was random.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, everyone that I played, like, everyone, I was like, I know luckily I didn't have to play the Magnum mission. Not once.
I was say, there's a Neo Triceratops and a Neo Ankylosaurus.
Either one of those.
Yeah, there's a few different Neos now.
Well,
I mean, that happens, though. It's an RNG-style game.
Yeah, I guess so. I just was like, man, I can't believe that I haven't seen any new maps or anything. It was a lot of the, you know, starting ones and whatnot, so. I don't know. Weird. It was fun, though. I mean, that is a fun game to jump in and play for a little bit and then go about your way, I guess.
I've just been, I unfortunately have been clicked back with Played Up. It's the automation style thing where I just, like, want to build an automated style restaurant.
You like roguelike, too. And you know, it's a problem-solving puzzler kind of almost. It's not a puzzle, but it is a puzzle to figure out how to make
puzzle.
It efficient.
It's dynamic. Like, I need content that I can't just, like, unfortunately for me, when I solve something, I can, like, it's solved. Like, I will never unsolve it. And when I play it a second time, it's like, I can't go against my muscle memory that has basically just shattered this game. So roguelike, I may learn the mechanics, but how it plays is different every time. That's why I like Risk of Rain or Plate Up or Slay the Spire or all these different roguelike style games where I can jump in and I know how to play it, but it's entirely different. That's why I like Arams in League of Legends too. It's because you get a random hero and a random group, a random 10 champions, and then it's fight down a single lane. Good luck. Yeah. I need dynamic content. It has to be dynamic, and it's got to be something that I can try to solve or outplay. Mm. So, like with Risk of Rain, it's just getting your items and trying to play the best you can with what you're given. Same thing with Plate Up, trying to make the best you can with what you're given. I had a dumpling one that I got all the way through it. It was 3 to 7 people. So I would just have 5 tables stacked up and I had it almost fully automated. But it got to the point where I couldn't do it any faster and I just failed it out. So I started it again. I started the franchise, got to day 3 and the game decided to just shit on me.
Yeah, that happens.
So it's frozen. I have to leave it there. There's no way I could do it myself.
I will say, I think with Plate Up, it's much harsher on the cards for franchises. Like if you're trying to continue on a franchise, not only are you carrying across cards from your original franchise, which are kind of difficulty modifiers as they are, mm-hmm. but I feel like it gives you less favorable cards in your franchise, like the second go around. It's harsher on you for it, which I'm not good at. I have like a box full of 47 like franchises that I could be playing, and I'm not, because that means it's going to be incredibly difficult. I do love that game, though. I'll probably play it this week. I've got one that... The one that Foxy and I played for while she was here over New Year's is Coffee, and it's completely automated at this point. So I just need to load it up and let the game play itself until it fails out. Because I don't... It's so automated, I don't do anything. It's just going to be to a point where the customers exceed how quickly they can get in and out of the dining room.
My only two... like true automations were both grifts. Both, like, I haven't been able to like fully trivialize a game with automation myself, but I have helped Griff with both of hers. Mm-hmm. Her turkey one, I helped her design, and she's got it pretty much entirely solo ran. And she doesn't do anything but stand there and hit
that
the order
one
button.
Is definitely about to fail. Like I'm gonna have to load that one up and fail it out.
You run out of plates. There's yeah. you're at the max.
Yeah.
Like it is beautiful to watch in action though. Like it is beautiful to watch. Like there's so much going on in that one. Like it's just incredible. I fucking love it.
If anybody wants me to, I will load it up and screenshot the thing so you can take a look at the automation.
Like it is a beautiful piece of art, is what I will consider that. And the second one was with her and
Foxy with the coffee
and Foxy. And when they were making it, I was like, you need to do this and that and this, and you can just, you know, create this little roundabout. And you know, I come back a little bit later, moved along, and I was like, well, if you could do this, this, and this, and make it a little bit better, and do nothing but teleporters in front of every single one, I come back a little bit later, and they've got it, and then you're like, all right, I think you're at maximum capacity.
It's definitely, like, I understand how to do it. It's a chicken sometimes will offer, like, a tweak that will make it slightly more efficient that I didn't really see, which is great.
Efficiency is where I'm good at.
I love that game. I want there to be more updates. The last update was the spaghetti update, and it was somewhat recent, I guess. I think in the last year, maybe,
for the spaghetti stuff. Yes, I think it was November of last year.
I really wish that they would put some more dishes in, I guess. Which, that's just me being a silly, like, obsessed person, because I love this game so much. I want there to be more variety in the dishes and everything. But there's also certain things, like, it'll come up on the little rack down at the bottom, which, again, you load into the game, and it's like, here's your 7 dishes that you have available to you and your places that you can go.
You have 5 dishes. You have 5 choices. You have 5 choices, but there's 19 dishes.
I think it's 26, actually.
That's 26
quite a few,
dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of dishes.
But those are, you can't change those without like basically leaving and coming back in. So it's like pick that, and that's kind of part of your roguelike thing. You have a limited choice unless you want to kind of cheese the system and load out and back in to get the thing that you want to make. But there are certain dishes that you see it and you're like, mm-mm. Like stir fry? Mm-mm. That's too many steps. There's no way to automate that efficiently. It's just, no thank you. Or something like fish, where it's like... Ugh. You start with two different kinds of fish, and they will ask for different ones, so you can't really effectively figure out what you need to be making the most of, but then later on it'll offer you cards that will add a third fish, and then your two fish bins will just change daily based on what it decides that you're having that day. That's hard. I don't like that. No, thank you. Not at all. Bigby. The cat is destroying the door over here. Sorry. She doesn't like video games, but that's okay. Although, I guess, now that we know Kat is not coming over tonight, Baka, if you're around, we can find something for the three or four of us, depending on if Red's around. If Red is around, I would like to call for Left 4 Dead for the OG crew. I've called you all here so that we may murder zombies that look like not zombies. Where
is Kat Baker?
She's got a migraine.
Yeah, which means the end of Attack on Titan ends next, not next Sunday, but the Sunday afterwards. Yeah, which is back 2 weeks later. From today. Sad faced. I know. Have you finished it? You finished it.
Mm-mm.
You haven't watched it?
I got stopped somewhere a while back, like halfway through season three, and got sidetracked or something. And
well, start it over.
Here we go, Baga.
Start over.
I mean, I kind of remember everything from season
two. Cool. Well, then start it. Hey, you're halfway to season three. That's where we are. We're part two. We're literally at the second part of season three.
Bigby.
It's great. It's unbelievably great.
Yeah. I have also been very distracted on working on map making.
That is completely fair. Because that if you want to watch the show, you need to pay attention to the show. Yeah. Yes. Whenever you've got
it's
time.
It's one of those. Like most of the stuff I've been watching is like I don't really care what's going
side
on.
Side monitor stuff, back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like Attack on Titan team just, school
yeah,
or whatever.
Background noise, but yeah, I've been doing a lot of map making and stuff for D&D and everything. So
hell yeah.
I
need to play again.
I know. I looked at my D&D stuff this week actually, and I was like, I wonder if we'll ever do that again. Yeah, we need to get back to that. Speaking of getting two things, I guess I need to go get to some chores in real life. But, you know, I don't want to.
Matt needs to wake up from another 6 month coma.
I hate you people. All right. Well, I mean, is there anything else that we want to talk about before we.
No, leave? That's all the games I've played.
Our next show would be on the 31st. We record on Sundays, so the show always comes out the Monday subsequent after that. But that is Easter, and that means we will not be here. So we will push that to the following week, just so that everybody's in the loop and not going, wait a minute, where was the show for this week? That will be, we'll record on the 7th, and it'll be out on the 8th. What, Baka?
I thought Easter was in April.
Usually is! Isn't that weird?
It is. Yeah. It is in April, except for this year. This is one of the rare years that it's on March 31st.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, no,
that's
right?
That's
why I hate this holiday. It's inconsistent.
Yeah, that's what I said. That is exactly what I said. I was like, what?
Because like, no. I've always, like, it's always the first Sunday of April. No,
not this time. They're like, no. April is starts on a Monday, so close enough. Call it on March. And it's like, no. Why you throw off my podcast schedule, man? But yes, so we will not have a show in 2 weeks. We'll have a show in 3 weeks. Sorry. But you can always hit us up on the Discord. I think the season for Chicken is getting a little busy at this point. I don't know if you'll get a chance to be streaming anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not at the moment. So.
But after we finish up Attack on Titan stuff with Kat, he might do some night streams. Ollie,
we'll
fix that
talk.
Schedule.
We'll think about it.
We'll see. And I think that, well, if you want to go ahead and give Chicken a follow on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/Elitechicken313. And then Oak is on Twitch, MDB Oak Tree. I think he's on another. He's on. I know he's on another platform. I do not remember what it is. Is it Kick?
I think it is Kick.
I'm sorry. I'm one of them old people, and I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna go to the new streaming platforms. I'm old. Get off my lawn. Twitch or nothing. Yeah, you can follow there. I don't know what his stream schedule is. I think he's usually on Sundays, like, for sure, but I don't know what his weekly schedule is.
If he's out drinking, he's not doing it.
He probably will not be on today, I would assume. But you never know. Could just be a really lit stream later. And I don't mean lit in the cool way. I mean in the trashed way.
If he is, I'm tempted to, like, make another account just to go fuck with him.
Oh my god. And then I'll listen to the show and I'll know it was you and then we'll all get in trouble.
Who's getting in trouble? I'm an adult. I don't get in trouble unless it's with the law.
Alright. Well, yeah, I guess that's it. Go to the Chicken Discord and join us there, because you'll be missing us for an extra week. You can just talk to us there and, you know, not miss us as much. If that's your thing. My endings are train wrecks. I don't know. Is that it? Are we good? Can we leave now?
Well, they are a sight to see, though.
It's different every time. Like, Oak has a strategy, and it's already there, and, like, this formula that he puts in, and I'm like...
You swing it.
He has a script. Script was the word you were looking for, Griff, not strategy. He has a strategy now to close out the show.
Look, I'm a little brain.
He quickly swipes the camera, knocks it off, screams, "We're done," and then slides off.
That sounds like one of mine.
We done! And then he crab walks away.
Alright, well then, I guess for a respawn, I'm Griff.
I'm Chicken.
I'm Pocket.
Bye!
Bye!
Try again.